Joyful Blessings, this is Kaylin Castell with a look at week three of the May 2015 celestial timings. And I actually went over a bit on May. I don't know what I got. I just dropped into this zone and we just kept going. So I talked about May 15th, 16th, and 17th, and 18th in week two. So if you want to get what was going on with that and the Taurus new moon and the questions you can ask and how to tune into that and so on, be sure you listen to week two if you haven't done that yet. So let's just say that that one of the main features of week three of the celestial timings for May of 2015 is the Taurus new moon. And also, the day after the new moon, Mercury is stationing retrograde. So we have two big features in week three, the Taurus new moon and the Mercury station retrograde, happening on May 18th at 6:49 p.m. Pacific time, so 9:49 p.m. Eastern time. And it's happening around 13 degrees Gemini, very near Aldebaran. Aldebaran is located at 10 degrees Gemini, so it's definitely in an activation and at the still point with this powerful star. So if you listen to the overview of where the planets are and me talking about working with the creating the celestial magic, this is this time, anytime really the new moon energy is the 17th and 18th, because the new moon is happening late on the 17th for the West Coast, so just after midnight for the East Coast on the 18th. So and then Mercury stationing retrograde, and the moon, of course, is also entering Gemini, and will be catching up to Mercury very quickly. So it enters Gemini at around 10:30 in the morning Pacific time, and will also pass Mars. So that's something that won't be visible because we're still in the new moon window, but it is energizing those planets. And so if we think about the still point, and as I mentioned, there is the still point energy, from T.S. Eliot, the poem from T.S. Eliot that talks about the still point. That really is a beautiful summary of what's happening at any retrograde station of any planet that's stationing retrograde. So tuning into that, and I just love this, at the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point there is the dance. There the dance is, but neither arrest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where past and future are gathered, neither movement from nor towards, neither ascent nor decline, except for the still point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance. I can only say there we have been, but I cannot say where, and I cannot say how long. For that is to place it in time. So it's outside of time. It's a still point, access point, where we connect to all possibilities. So when Mercury is stationing retrograde with Aldebaran, one of the super celestial bodies in the star, and connecting to Mercury, the celestial, bringing it into the supernatural, this is a really powerful point for us to connect with. And interestingly, at this time, so Mercury is actually at the still point for several days. On May 19th, the moon will occult Aldebaran and won't be visible because it's only going to be 13 degrees from the sun, this occultation. So it's with the sun, the source of life and light for our planet. It's the fifth occultation in the series of 49 that is happening from January of 2015 till September of 2018. And it's part of the 18 and a half year moon cycle. We are just, it is just this convergence of energies that are taking place in this Taurus new moon window. That are really powerful, and it's a portal, definitely an access portal. The still point is a portal into the field of all possibilities, into the place of pure consciousness, pure awareness, where all of creation arises from. Some might call it the unified field. So we have Mercury at the still point, at the unified field point. We have the moon accelerating and magnifying the energy of Aldebaran, as is Mercury at its station point, and this occultation that's taking place. And then shortly after the occultation, the moon is going to pass retrograde Mercury that may be visible later in the day. I might be a little confused here, because it says, I'm going to have to look at this. Anyway, it's passing by Mercury. So tuning into all of that energy be very worthwhile. And in addition to that, the sun reaches its connection to the Pleiades, actually very early morning on May 21st. Sometimes it's on the 20th. And so this was when the Mayans, would, we could say a three-day window, May 20th, 21st, and 22nd, the days of no shadows, the days, 3 days of no shadows, because anytime the sun is doing anything, it's activating it for 3 days. So basically, the sun is at the zenith point, meaning it's directly overhead at certain latitudes. And these latitudes are places where the pyramids were built, like Kukulcan at 20 degrees north latitude. And so on certain days, these pyramids were built in these latitudes will have what's called the days of no shadows, meaning that at high noon, if you had a stick straight in the ground or you were standing straight above the perpendicular to the ground, no shadow, you would not cast a shadow because the sun is right above you. It's directly overhead. And so the same thing is true. There's no shadows cast on the pyramid. So this was something that was so important. And it also happens to be taking place with the Pleiades. And that happens for a window of time. At least a 72-year window. And according to John Major Jenkins, this window is from 1976 to 2048. So that began happening. And this was the cross-check the Mayans had for the 26,000-year cycle. How do we know we're ending and beginning a 26,000-year cycle? Well, every 26,000 years, the sun will be with the Pleiades, and the Pleiades are the, from the Mayan perspective, the rattle of the snake. And so this pyramid at Kukulcan, the Kukulcan pyramid at Chichen Itza, has a snake shadow that is illuminated at the equinox. And they saw that when the Pleiades were directly over the pyramid with the sun, it put the rattle of the snake into place. And that became a portal and a doorway. And it's interesting to note that many cultures saw the Pleiades as a doorway home or as a doorway back to where they came from. many Native American cultures and apparently the Mayans had a very strong feeling about that as well, because they took the time to build a massive pyramid to track the time when the Pleiades would be with the sun on the zenith point for that window and the days of no shadows. Then the moon is going to catch up to, this is on May 21st, was going to catch up to Venus at in the morning. So the evening of May 20th, the moon will be approaching Venus. In the evening of May 21st, the moon will be beyond Venus. And this represents the gate, the sixth chakra, connected to our vision, you know, the third eye, where we are the place of perception. And in fact, in the Inanna journey, is called the gate of perception, where she's reclaiming her ability. She's in her ascension process. She's reclaiming her ability to perceive her life in a new way, in a healthier way, in a more expansive way, in a way that's more connected to light and to spirit. And it is an activation of the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is activated by light. And I wrote quite a bit about the importance of the pineal gland, and also how not only were the Hindus who had the top knot on their gods and goddesses, and the Buddha, who also has the top knot that represents the pine cone, but the Christians too. There is a pine cone in the court of the Vatican, and I put a picture of that, so you may want to check that out. And just know that that is that this sixth chakra is activating the pineal gland, and it is they know that the pineal gland or the third eye is called the third eye. It actually has rods and cones in it, similar to our eyes. So the ancients describing the pineal gland or the third eye area right here, they were tuned in. They actually knew something pretty amazing about that. So that's quite a lot going on in the third week of May 2015.